Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Olivia, and we're so glad you're here today. Christine empowers professionals to step into their personal brands in a bigger, bolder way on social media. You can do it. She'll teach you how. She's spoken on stages worldwide and is a frequent expert guest on podcasts, live streams, Twitter chats, and blog posts, as well as hosting her own weekly ad week podcast, Let's Talk About Brand, and its companion Twitter chat, Chat About Brand. And I am super excited to have her here today. We connected years ago on Twitter, and we've been in the Twitter sphere together, and she is brilliant. She is your go-to gal for anything branding and business, and also very much in line with our Fresh Starts ethos, is always kind and graceful and generous to every single person she comes across. And that comes through. And her beautiful, amazing personality, which is always literally glowing. So we're very excited to have you here today.
Well, I'm certainly glowing now. Thank you so much. And by the way, you two, congrats on your book. What?
Thank you.
That's a fresh start.
It is a fresh start. I know. I was just saying to somebody, I'm like, we've been in marketing 20 years. And yet when it's your own book, we were like, what the hell are we doing? What do we do? How do we do this?
Your own stuff is always harder.
The hardest.
Always.
It's always so hard. So thank you.
We receive that.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you today?
Oh man, I'm all right, but it's interesting because you're catching me at a really interesting time in my fresh start journey, which, spoiler alert, is a transatlantic move. I'm uprooting my family, all four of us, and we're heading across the Atlantic. We're moving from New York to just outside London. And so we're not moving till August. We're recording this right now on the precipice of May. We need to get our house, our whole house, like sold and done and dusted before we go. So even though we have several months, right now you're catching me in the thick of, wow, we have a lot of stuff. It's very emotional, a lot of emotional connections to our stuff, but we want to bring as little stuff as possible. So on the one hand, part of me is like raring to go and super excited and like, God, I wish I had more time and energy to just like do it.
Yeah.
But then part of me is freaking out. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing that? Why am I blowing up my lovely little life? What is happening? Yeah. So
very much understood. Well, I very much understand that because I leave in 29 days, and at night last night I was like, have I thought about this? And I was like, yeah, I've thought about this, but like I was like, this is crazy that I'm doing this.
Is there anything that makes you feel more like an adult than selling a house?
Well, the crazy part. Okay, the craziest part of that is that this house that we're in now was my dream house, my forever home that I was determined to leave in a body bag at a ripe old freaking age. Like, I could not see ever leaving this home. I manifested this home. It was on a vision board. Like, it was heaven and earth had to come together for the entirety of 2018 to get me in this house. So the fact that, and back then also, we had to sell a house to buy this house.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm never doing this again.
So take us back. What compels a person to sell their dream house that they've manifested and move across the world?
Psychosis, midlife crisis. I don't know. No, but actually I will take you back. The turn of the century, the early 2000s. Early 20 something me, I had gotten out of my first adult relationship and I was like, wow, I could have wound up married to that guy. What adventures do I want to have while I'm young and single and childless? And my mother was born in Ireland, so I have Irish citizenship. So I got my Irish passport and I decided I was going to move to Dublin for a year. And then I didn't move to Dublin because I just didn't pull my shit together. Yeah. And, and also right when I was about to move to Dublin, I also fell in love back in New York. So I was like, okay, so that didn't help. But he's not exactly why I didn't move. Like, he came on the scene knowing I might. Anyway, previous guy. But I just kind of didn't do it. And part of it had always lived in the back of my head. And when I got together with my husband, years later, I told him about that, and I warned him. I said, this may crop up in our future. Just
like it's some sort of genetic disease. It might spring up.
Yeah,
we'll have to
I'm
deal
like,
with it when it comes.
This may pop back up. So you need to know if you're sharing a life with me that this may be a discussion in the future. And he's like, all right, cool. And then, you know, years go by. We have two kids now. They are 8 and 11. And he actually, my husband, was the one who first brought the topic back up of moving abroad. He brought it up years ago. Trump election, really,
we all flew to get our passports. So I understand.
It's crazy how much foreign passport requests have spiked. The Trump election did that, COVID did that, and Brexit did that. Those are three things, especially for Ireland, because there are so many Americans with Irish descendancy and so many Brits with Irish heritage. Right. So put the two together, people who want to other countries. And
so Christine, how does that work? So your mom was born there. So what does that give you, like, carte blanche to do?
So here's the deal with that. So Ireland and the UK have had a longstanding agreement called the Common Travel Area. It predates the European Union for either of them. It just has always been a situation where UK citizens and Irish citizens had the rights to live in each other's countries. And, you know, when you arrive, you're essentially, you're not a citizen of that country, but you have all the rights thereof. You can live, you can work, you don't need any special anything.
Wow.
So my mother,
I'm
obviously.
Jealous.
So my mother came here as a child, and she was naturalized as an American very, very long time ago. But yeah, so what I had to do was pretty simple. I did have to submit a whole lot of paperwork, but mostly about my mom. And interestingly, I had to submit my parents' baptismal certificates and marriage certificate, which was strange to me, but, you know, Catholic country.
Ireland, that's fascinating.
Yeah. But we had those things. And so, you know, that was that. I didn't realize until recently that while I knew that my kids had access to Irish citizenship because it can go to the grandparent level, I did not realize there was an extra step. So now I'm a little screwed here. With when it goes to the grandparent level, first you got to get the kids on the foreign birth registry, which is currently backed up by about 2 years. And it is not until they're on the foreign birth registry that I can get them Irish passports, which means I'm going to have to pay a few grand to get them visas.
Convenient. Yeah. Wow.
Which is so annoying.
Sounds
if I'd
about
just
right.
gotten on this a few years ago, we would have been golden. But anyway, so years ago, Trump, my husband was like, yeah, maybe let's actually be those people who leave the country. But, you know, we didn't pull it together. And then, you know, the pandemic happened. And of course, it gets you thinking about, I know some people, including in my own family, who kind of have made their lives a lot smaller, partially for safety purposes. Yeah. But it, for me, I kind of real, and I understand that and I respect that. I realized, wow, I want to do more stuff once we're at, and the pandemic is not over. But, you know, lockdown is over, like that first phase of things is over. And I was like, I want to get out there and do things. I traveled more in 2022 than I ever had in my life. I traveled when I was younger and single too, a bit in my early 20s. And, you know, my husband hasn't traveled, my kids haven't traveled. And especially coming out of the whole lockdown phase, I was like, all right, we got to see the world.
Yeah,
and I have a lot of friends and colleagues in the UK. I've been going to the UK at least once a year for a couple of years now.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. It's almost not a fresh start simply because I'm coming into I've woven over the years such a net that is going to be there to catch me. But I've been talking a blue streak. I'm going to take a breath.
No, it's
let
it's,
you guys get a word in edgewise.
I mean, we love listening to your story. Yeah, no. I very much understand. I mean, it's so funny because in my experience, right? So for our listeners who I'm sure know this, they're like, we know, we've heard it before. I'm moving to Scotland. Now it's 29 days from today, from
oh my God.
Date of recording. Yeah. I'm so excited. I got locked out of my Delta account for some reason. Like somebody tried to hack it and I couldn't for 2 weeks go in and just look at my ticket. And I was like in a panic mode. I just wanted to look at it. I like looking at my ticket.
I understand having something solid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you're kind of unmoored.
Exactly. Having those things. And especially because I'm not with my person, right? I'm going to him. And so I mean, we've been apart. It's going to be 5 months all told when, you know, by the time I get there, it's hard. But I think it's so funny because I know you're doing this. I have another friend, Meg, who's moving right outside of Edinburgh, right around the same time I'm doing this. And yet I still like I'm, you know, in and out of doctor's offices. I'm like, well, we really have to get this done because I move in 30 days. And they're like, oh, where are you moving to? And they expect me to say like, I don't know, Newport or California or Florida. And I'm like, Scotland. And people look at me and I'm like, yeah, I guess that's not a thing I hear a lot is people moving to the UK. And yet there's this little group of us that are going over there. It's a very, it feels like old school in a way. It feels like I just don't hear about it. And it's so weird because I don't have family in the UK. I don't, you know, and this was an old crush that I had. The timing was finally right. And we just fell in love and it was like, okay. And it was like, okay, I'll go there. I'll come there. He works in a museum. I work remote. Like I can take the 6 months off, you know, that I have to take off while I'm there. And it just made sense. But now it's like, I'm doing what? It's a very weird thing to tell people.
It is, but it's also interesting because so many people, their first reaction to us was, oh my God, I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many people, either because they want out because America mm-hmm. is in a state right now, though the UK is too. I keep reminding my husband this.
It really is.
It's not exactly out of the frying pan into the fire. It's more like out of the fire into the frying pan, but still we're going into a frying pan.
Yeah.
You know, they're
still heat.
Yeah. My UK friends are like, oh, we're right behind you in mm-hmm. this, you know, highway to hell. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, but you're behind us. but regardless, a different flavor of mess. There's no perfect place. And it's interesting because my mother came from Ireland when she was nine for a better life. And originally we were moving to Ireland. Originally it wasn't England. It was Ireland. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what the hell are you doing? Like really was like, why would you leave the United States? You know, land of opportunity plus family here plus all of this. And I get it, but oh God, we just want to see something else. And the more I travel, the more I see there are kind of other ways to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my kids to have that experience. And I have to say, like I was saying how 20 years ago, you know, I was like, what adventure do I want before I'm married with kids? Because I had this idea that once I was settled and I knew that this settled life was in my future. I wanted it. Mm-hmm. I wanted the house in the suburbs with the mm-hmm. white picket fence and the, you know, station wagon in the driveway. And I'm living that right here, right now. I wanted it and I was right to want it. I love it. My life right now is a dream. It has not disappointed. So that's another thing that's weird for people to comprehend. They have this idea of a fresh start, a major life change is something you do when you're dissatisfied. It's something you do to bust yourself out of being stuck.
Yeah.
And this is the part that I've personally kind of had to mentally process when I'm like, why am I doing this? Which happens to me every day now.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though there's the political dissatisfaction, the fact is it's not that severe. Like, honestly, we have a great life.
Right.
Why are we blowing it up? And the answer is because you don't have to be miserable to want something else.
Boom.
Don't even mm-hmm. have to not want what you have
mm-hmm.
to want something else.
Yes. Yes.
The
two truths can be true together.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is kind of crazy, but the fact is you really, you know, you can be happy with what you have and still something cool.
It goes back to this idea of like, is like joy, right? The concept of joy is actually infinite, right? There's not like a certain bucket of joy that you're given at birth.
Or not a continent where it lives on, like, right?
So you can have as much joy and excitement and adventure as you want in life. And you can have it all, right? You don't have to just do something because you're sad or because you're miserable, like you said.
And the fascinating thing is that a lot of it is I'm incredibly privileged to be able to do this. So why the heck not take advantage of that? I'm privileged in that I have citizenship. I'm privileged in that I have the right partner and the right kids to do this, because, you know, either of those are things I didn't expect. That I did expect to have a partner and kids. I did not expect that I'd be able to go have this adventure with them.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, my husband is the right husband to partner with on this, which is fortunate. He's the only one I've got. the kids, man, we agreed before we had them that we wanted to raise flexible kids who were open to new experiences, the kind of kids who eat more things than just mac and cheese. You know, we wanted all that. But as any parent knows, you cannot do that by parenting. Like, you can have all the best intentions you want. You can have all your parenting techniques. Yeah. But the fact is, you get the kid you get. Sometimes, no matter what you do, all your kid will eat is, you know, Teddy Grahams. And eventually you're like, you know what? Yeah. My kid needs to not be starving to death, so I need to just sacrifice, you know, whatever. Regardless, we happened to get the kids we were hoping to get in that regard. We are staggeringly lucky that they actually are flexible and open to new experiences and like do spend their best friends. They're obsessed with each other. It is so darn cute.
I know, they're so cute on social media.
Oh, they're ridiculous. Every day at school pickup, they're like, they run into each other's arms.
Well, you know what though, Christine, that is modeling. That's modeling. Yeah. That is because your household is full
on
of
some
joy
level,
love.
But again, like, it it's doesn't all work. You can model all the love and affection you want in your home, but the fact is, if your kids aren't, if these people are just not compatible, you can't create that just from environment. So we're very lucky.
100%. And I think it's beautiful, like you said, to take that opportunity and to be like, I have this privilege. I'm not just going to, I'm not going to squander it because I shouldn't have it, or I'm happy enough. You know, I was saying to Thomas.
Enough is a really key word there.
Yeah. Right. I was saying to Thomas last night, my fiance, I was like, you know, my life is a settlement to not, is a monument to not settling. Like I've made a lot of decisions, and we were talking about that. I said, you know, this relationship in and of itself, the fact that we've embarked upon this, like, it is the opposite of settling. It is money and it is time and it is flights. And, you know, it was visa paperwork. Like you were tweeting the other day about how going through all this visa paperwork is a real lesson, and it's a real exercise of all the lessons you've learned in marriage. And I responded that, like, you know, we're eloping, and there's so many important lessons, I think, that come for a couple when you plan a wedding together, you know, the communication, the negotiation, all of that. We're not doing any of that. I planned my wedding once and that didn't work out, and I'm never doing it again.
That itself was a negotiation. The fact that you guys had to discuss being on the same page with that, the fact that you guys have had to defend it to your respective families and friends. So I think you did go through it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you're right. But it's so funny because then you have to get into all this visa paperwork, and it's like going through your bosses and their salaries and what do you make and what do you have saved? You know, you have to talk about financial stuff and show each other that stuff. And it's like, you know, it's so interesting because you don't get out of it. You know, if you're going to be intimate with somebody, you can't get away from those potential like tough moments. And it is such an interesting and beautiful way to combine your life with somebody and to be intimate with somebody, to say like, let's kind of be pioneers together, right? Even though I'm going to his country, like, you guys are being pioneers together. You're doing something new. Like, even though you have your net, it's going to be the two of you in a different way than it is now.
It's also going to be so much more than it is now, the four of us, because we are pretty close knit. We do hang out together. You know, there's lots of cuddles of all four of us. There's, you know, we did family game night last night. So we do hang out, but the fact is, we're going to be together basically all the time because, you know, again, we are going to be living in the UK. We're not doing the whole, you know, digital nomad thing. I'm not homeschooling. I don't have that in me, but we are going to be traveling as much as we can. Yeah. Like, a huge part of why we're moving right outside London is so that we have easy access to the whole rest of Europe and beyond. Yeah. Plus, we'll be coming home to New York a fair amount as well. And so So it's really kind of interesting because I was talking to my daughter about how I want us to go to Paris in the fall. Yeah. My husband and I will be having our 15-year anniversary. So it seems like Perfect. A really good time. And yeah. and the kids appear to probably have a school holiday shortly before our anniversary. So we'll go to Paris at that point. And she was like, well, what are Josh and I going to do while you guys are on dates? I said, you're going to come with us. She said, well, dates are usually very private things, aren't they? I said, well, we don't have someone to leave you with. I mean, we right. can't like, leave them with grandma, you know, right. she's in New York. And eventually, I mean, we're certainly prioritizing making some close family friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a lot of parents nowadays are not cool with sleepovers, but we are very cool with sleepovers. And we want to make those family friends where we yeah. really know the parents and our kids are good friends with the kids. Yeah. But still, like, dumping your kid on someone while you skip the country for even a long weekend yeah, is yeah. like a crazy level of closeness and trust. Yeah. We're not gonna have that for quite some time.
No. So
yeah. luckily they're on the upswing of age too, you know, right. where like yes. they're, once they're older, it's different.
Well, I also pointed out to yeah. my husband, I'm like, I mean, we could leave them in the hotel room while we get dinner. And then I'm like, no, not in a foreign country.
No. Not where they don't speak the language too, right? I mean, that's yeah,
I'm like,
one.
What if some like French guy from the front desk comes and knocks on the door with a question and the kids are like panicking? Like, no. Yeah.
No, they don't need to be doing that. No, I also found out that in the UK, I didn't know this, and I said it to Thomas and he was like, yeah, it's not like that there. That if you miss too much school, you can like, if your kids miss too much school, you can like really get in trouble. I think there's fines or like.
Yeah. A friend of mine got taken to court. They have a special needs kid who had to miss school for, you know, a variety of reasons. And they got taken to court.
That's crazy.
I mentioned it to Thomas and he was like, what is it? The Wild West over there? You can just take your kids out of school. And I was like, well, listen, man, I went to private school. We could do whatever we wanted. We could not show up for a month if we were in the islands. You know, there were kids that did stuff like that. But yeah, it's wild. It's so, I mean, so
not saying I'll never say they're sick this Friday.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Get on the Paris.
But also I'm me. So like it's going to be all on Instagram. So
yeah, this is also true. Really, but so logistically, like as a parent, right? So I panic even just changing my kids' dentists, right? So it's like you do the research and I'm in this town I've grown up in, right? So what is it like from a parent's perspective? You have to choose a new school. You have to choose mm-hmm. pediatricians.
Well, you don't really get to choose the school, right? I mean,
right,
that's
well,
part of it.
How does that work? How does that work? Like for anybody listening, I'm sure they're like, what do you do with your children? How do you manage all that?
Definitely helps to be a bad parent because then you give less of a shit.
No, definitely helps.
The school thing really.
You really give off bad parent vibes
yeah,
too. Like,
yeah,
really, that's the vibe I get.
Well, the school thing is weird because, I mean, here in the States, if you're doing public school, which we do, right. you know, your kids go to whatever school
right.
your house is for. But right. that's not how it is over there. Over there, you do have to apply to different schools. But the thing is, they still give preference based on what you're closest to. Okay. And I tried to get ahead of that. I tried to get ahead of the school thing, and I couldn't because we don't have an address there.
Yeah. Yet.
And they're we're about to have to look into this actually, because the visa requires an address too, and we don't have one. But there are relocation companies that will hook you up with an address that you can use.
Which is stupid.
Wow. It feels like cheating to me, and I'm an extreme rule follower. I'm like super Capricorn over here. So yeah. I'm freaking out a little over that concept. But so I'm not using it for school. School, they'll just have to wind up where they wind up in the fall. And, you know, I am going to get on top of making sure that our applications for the following year.
Right.
It's going to be a year of transition.
It's going to be a year of transition, which sucks because I did all the research and I found schools I wanted for my kids. And, you know, but we're moving to an area where we have been repeatedly assured by people who live there that the schools are all great. So the worst case scenario is, I mean, my kids would much rather be in co-ed schools that are mm-hmm. secular. The worst case scenario, he'll be in all boys Catholic school, you know,
right.
We'll deal. For a year, we'll deal.
Regarding the visa, I don't know what your visa situation looks like, but I thought I had to put an address in too. And then I switched some sort of, I like said, I didn't know where we were going to live. And I put, just for the record, I said something like, we don't know exactly where because his lease is up in July. I was like, but depending on when I get there, because I didn't know when I was going to arrive, we'll be at this address. And they accepted that. So just
as my
fact that he's there already, though, is a huge advantage right. there. I'm not is the problem. So it would work yeah. if I were there, but I'm not. We really want to all arrive at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a possibility that I go first, but we really don't want to do that. We don't want to yeah. split up. At all. So now we're at the point where we need to sort of put the gas on
well,
it.
How does that work? So it's so hard too, because when you're filling out these applications, you're months away from being there. Right. So you're like, how am I supposed to find an apartment 6 months in advance?
The really hard part, that's what's biting us in the ass right now, because we're going to be renters. Mm-hmm. You can't find something till you need something. I mean, yeah. I think back to, you know, when I was in New York City in my 20s and I'd always find stuff like the week I had to move.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. that's when it goes up. So we are already going to be a little bit ahead of that. We're hoping to leave the country August 1st, and I'm going to the UK in mid-June.
Okay.
I'm going out there for a conference anyway. So I'm just going out a week early, and I'm going to look at places, and I better find the place. And of course, we're looking at as many places as we can online.
Right.
My husband and I went out. So the town we're moving to, city we're moving to, but I say city with quotes. Mm-hmm. It's a very small, yeah, cute yeah. city. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
Very small. This is a very small, cute city from yeah. my perspective. St. Albans is right outside London. It's fabulous. It looked great on paper. So in January, my husband and I went out and did the vibe check. We stayed in an Airbnb. We're like, yes, this is good. So we know we're moving to St. Albans, and we got in touch with some real estate agents there. Mm. Who are sending us stuff to our parameters. Because another annoying thing is out there, you could the only brokerage that can show you a property is the one that listed it.
Oh.
So we need to get in touch with a few. I need to have a few realtors I go around wow. with. But yeah, but we found the one that seems to be the best, honestly. And we're just looking, and I'm looking all the time on these apps, but right now there's nothing available beyond May.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just it's yeah, we're looking to move in July, August, and it's like mm-hmm. we can't start that until I'm there.
So
at least
mm-hmm. legitimately asking this question.
Yeah.
This sounds like a full-time job.
Thankfully, like, I got laid off a couple months
ago. Well, thankfully.
Small blessing. It means we're financially screwed, but you know, logistically.
I mean, this is a lot of strings you're pulling at one time to like yeah. get this all together. How do you like organize this? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Well, I'm married to a project manager.
Okay. So that helps.
it helps, but it doesn't. It's weird because this is another like marriage lesson thing because we, or partnership lesson thing, really.
Yeah.
Because we each have our own ways of doing these things, and we're really committed to our ways. Each of us knows best. And so we've done a great job of this so far, I have to say, but we've still got a few months left. One really interesting thing, and thank God this is hitting 14 and change years into our marriage, because we know this about each other, is that even though he was the one who sort of said, let's go do this now, you know, last year, I'm the one who sprung into action, started looking into everything, started finding out how to do the things. I'm the researcher. I'm the researcher and the enthusiasm in the early stages. And I felt like he was really dragging his feet. And I'm like, dude. And he's like, well, I'm not committed to doing this yet. I'm like, but
you just said, right.
I said to him at some point in the fall, I said, I need you to be in go mode by the time 2022 closes. Like, I need that.
Fair.
Otherwise, I'm going without you, which he did not appreciate. And it happened. You know, that's the thing. He does come around, but that time in between is crazy making. And then once he got on board, he has his spreadsheet. He has his Google Doc. I'm yeah. on the Google Doc. I keep asking him questions or telling him things. And he's like, do it on the Google Doc. And I'm like, dude, no. Because his Google Doc is arranged in a way that that isn't the way my brain works.
Right.
And he's very concerned about different things that I'm concerned with, which is good because we can each own our things, but also bad because I'm like, why don't you care about this? And he's like, well, why don't you care about this? And so that's where we're at. So it is interesting. But yeah, he definitely has the logistics stuff in terms of here's how much these things cost.
Yeah.
I insisted that he take the lead on his own visa. And that's where I've definitely had to step in there simply because there are certain things that I'm just better at. And I'm like, I need to not be stubborn and petty and scorekeeping about this. Right. This is something that's going to benefit us both, and it's going to go faster if I'm involved.
Yeah.
But then I'm making him take on other things too. I'm good at research. I'm good at connections. He's good at kind of getting it on a document and putting it in a place where we have all our things. And of course, he's going to be doing the physical moving around of more stuff. I just made him plant a bush out front this morning for curb appeal. So it's just a matter of kind of knowing our strengths, balancing them, not getting mad at each other for the stuff that we know is not our thing. I mean, we're not new here. And it's hard because of course there are resentments built in to those things. Like, oh, why can you never do this thing? But on the other hand, it's like, you've been with me 16 years, dude. Yeah. Like, we know. Like, you're
not gonna change.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about selling this house that you manifested?
Oh my God. I'm heartbroken. And honestly, if I hadn't got laid off a few months ago, I would have been fighting really hard to keep it and rent it out. And a lot of people are like, you should keep it and rent it out. I'm like, well, who's going to pay for our move then? And another thing is I don't want to be like coasting into the UK on financial fumes. Because when we get there, we're going to be setting up our place. You know, we're not paying the exorbitant shipping fees to ship all our furniture out. Plus it's IKEA. I mean, So we are certainly bringing plenty of stuff. My sister-in-law was like, why do you need to bring anything? Just go. I'm like, because we care about some of our stuff.
Yeah, that's the place that I'm at. Like, people were like, get new clothes. I was like, no, I like my clothes. Like, why would I can't show up with no clothes. And it's hard because there's that place between like, do I need this? And like, but I really like my pants, and if he doesn't have good pants. Yeah, exactly.
Spark joy.
and it's a very hard decision. I very much understand leaving the furniture, but it's funny. Like, I kept my couch.
We might.
In my apartment. It's in the storage unit. I'm not going to ship it over there. First of all, we're in flats. And so everything in Edinburgh is pre-furnished.
Oh, wow.
Like all of the, unless it's like a really low end or a really high end flat, everything.
Ireland was like that too. We were originally going to be moving to Ireland and everything we saw was pre-furnished, and nothing I'm seeing in St. Albans is, and I don't want pre-furnished. I want it to feel like mine.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I mean, I think in like two flats, I'd like it to not be pre-furnished. You know what I mean? Like immediately I'm like, cause he doesn't have furniture. Because why would he? He's lived in flats his entire existence as an adult in Edinburgh, right? So like So he moves pretty light. He's like boxes and he's got his amp and stuff like that. But so I kept my couch, and like when I first kept it, when I was going there for 6 months, I was like, you know, in case I come home. And Olivia was like, you're not going to come home. Like, you're not coming back here.
That's
like,
people are saying.
It was like a huge hedge for me because I was nervous it wouldn't work out. You know, I had been in a relationship with somebody for a decade who didn't propose to me for 8 years because he was unsure of me. Yeah. And so I was like very nervous that I'd been with this guy for just a year. And I was like, is he going to ask me to marry him so I can stay, basically? And we knew that that was the plan, but he did get down on a knee and ask me to marry him. And so I was so nervous. And so I held onto that couch and I'm like, just get rid of the couch. Like, it takes up a whole storage unit.
So we have a few categories. So right now we're working through the category of this crap needs to be out of the way so we can show the house. And that's getting rid of like at least half our stuff. Yeah. Like, we have so much stuff. We need to get rid of a lot of it.
Yeah.
And unlike when we were in the last house and we're, you know, just moving to another town, this time I'm like, no, we need to get rid of things. Mm-hmm. And my kids are transitioning out of childhood and into like tweenhood. So it's actually a good time for them to get rid of shit too. And they're embracing it more than I am, by the way. I'm like, oh, you want to get rid of your Barbie dream house?
Mm-hmm. By the way, that's probably helping them embrace it. Is their mom being sentimental? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. But it's interesting. So we're at the point now where we need to get rid of shit so that we can show the house and have it not look cluttered.
Yeah.
And the next stage is once we've sold the house, once it's in contract and we don't have to show it anymore, we're going to get rid of the next level of furniture. Like, there's going to be some bookshelves and, you know, chairs and stuff while we're showing the house.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be at the lots of stuff must go. Then in June, when I actually find our place, that's also when we're going to be getting the shipping container.
Okay.
So my husband's going to start packing the shipping container mm-hmm. at home while I'm in the UK. But once we see our actual place, that'll also give us a sense of things because we're moving into a much smaller place. First of all, American houses are bigger. They just spread out here in a way they don't there. But in addition to that, we have always kind of gone for as much house as we can afford and, and a little over. But now we want to be traveling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be living, you know, below our means for the first time ever.
Yeah.
In terms of our home. So it's going to be small. Like my husband was talking about, we have one of those ginormous Lovesac beanbag couches up in our attic. That we got actually for free from a friend because she didn't feel like moving it. She's like, if you can get it out of my apartment, it's yours. And we did. And my husband was like, well, we could take this. It vacuums down. I'm like, we won't have a place to put it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't think you understand the size of place we'll be. My husband and I have lived in apartments before. We lived in New York City. But, you know, we've been so far removed from that.
Yeah.
And it's the kids never have.
It's an interesting concept because I actually see this more and more happening in the divorce world too.
Yeah.
Which is single moms will sell, which is like what I did. I sold my house. I moved back home with my two kids, right? We moved, and I had a 3-bedroom ranch house, right? We moved everything out. Mm-hmm. And I see this a lot with single parents, which they'll basically sell everything, sell the house, rent a small apartment with their kids, and then go enjoy their life. Right.
Yeah.
And then they have money to go, like a little bit more money than they're not struggling all the time because they have to upkeep a mortgage. Right. They can actually go and like see the Broadway shows and do this and do that. And it's kind of like this thing that's happening. I see when I talk to other single moms, they're like, oh, yeah, I sold and I'm renting this little condo or whatever. So it's definitely this concept of like, not like space versus joy, right? Because you can have both, right? But it's like deciding, being really intentional. And being really intentional. Like, well, we know, like you said, Christine, like we're going to travel. Like probably most weekends, you're not going to be sitting in the house, right? You're going to be out doing tons of beautiful things. So like, why do you need all this extra space and to pay for that space if you don't actually need it?
Exactly. And it's interesting because when it comes to house stuff, so I used to be a journalist and one of my beats for a while was big, gorgeous old houses for sale. And so I'm an old house geek. I love houses, especially old houses. And I used to, when I was in my previous home, I'd used to come home from one of those assignments and look at my own house and be like, oh, what a shitty little hovel, you know? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, it was a perfectly lovely, you know, it was fine. This house, it's not huge, it's not fancy, but it's so cool. It's from 1897. It's got so many original details. This is the first place I've ever lived where I'm like, I'm kind of living that dream.
Yeah.
Like it has so much charm. So part of me, because it's my dream house, I'm like, all right, I've kind of already achieved that dream.
Yeah.
And I'm not chasing it anymore. And it's not, again, it's not a matter of I fulfilled that dream and discovered it wasn't all that. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But I can still go do other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. You know, when we talk a lot on this podcast about when you can make the brave decisions and do things, you become a toolbox and a guidebook for other people to do that. And I think it's really cool to see both of you doing that, you know, and fulfilling kind of this of joy in other ways and exciting adventures. And it's also, like you have said, so much work, right? I mean, the physicality of what you're going through right now, right? Selling the house, finding a new place. So what does that look like? So when you go over in June, now you can rent because you have the citizenship? Or
I don't even think that is why I can. Okay. I think
it's very easy for Americans to rent and buy in the UK.
Exactly. I mean, it's mostly that I can work. You know, and I can actually vote apparently, and healthcare also. I have access to healthcare, and that's why we need to bother making sure we get Greg a visa, is so that he can, you know, have healthcare. So that's certainly part of it. But yeah, it's a whole thing. I forgot to tell you one part of the origin story too, by the way, which I hadn't even thought of as connected to this, but now I'm realizing it is, which is the idea of it feels good to do a big, brave, adventurous thing. I used to, it's funny, you've only seen post 35 Christine Gritman, which was kind of a phoenix rising. Like I was a much more fearful and subdued person for a lot of my young adulthood. Mm. And I remember in college, I took a semester off, what would have been my first semester of my second year, because I was severely depressed all of freshman year. So I was on a semester off. I wanted to do something big and cool and exciting. I did not. I you know, lived at home and worked at the mall. And I was already kind of disappointed with myself for that. I was like, oh, I could have done a big, cool thing. Yeah. And I didn't even really try. Mm. but I realized this is the one time in my life where I have income but no expenses. I'm going to do something cool. My whole family had been to Italy, not together. My parents went to Italy. My brother and his wife went to Italy. And my sister actually spent a summer in Italy. So I was like, I'm going to go to Italy. Why the hell not? And I didn't do stuff by myself back then. Like now, I mean, I go to restaurants by myself. I'll go to a movie by myself. Like now I can do things by myself. I actually enjoy it. I mean, I have a family, my goodness. But, you know, I didn't do things by myself. And I said, I'm going to Italy for 2 weeks, not knowing Italian, by myself, partially so that for the whole rest of my life, if I'm scared to do something, I can be like, girl, you can do this. You went to Italy by yourself for 2 weeks without knowing Italian. You can do this.
Yeah.
And it worked. I was 18 years old. And at 42, I still go back to that. And I'm still proud of myself for doing it.
Yeah.
And were there mishaps? Yeah, there were. but, you know, it was all right. And so I kind of, first of all, love having another thing like that, because I've seen in my own life that it does give me power to have done that. It's kind of like the moment in, I forget which Harry Potter it was, but where he casts the Patronus successfully because he knew he could, because he had seen himself cast the Patronus.
Right. Yeah. You created an origin story for yourself, like intentionally. You were like, yeah, I'm going to make this so I can have that strength.
I'm writing a cool life story. That's another part of it. I want to be writing a cool life story at all times, and I want my kids to do that too. But yeah, a huge part of it is that. And I remember one of my moments in Italy, there was always boy drama, always. And I, at that moment, my boyfriend at home, I knew was in the process of falling in love with someone else. I wish he had broken up with me before my trip, not after. Oh, yeah. But anyway, but I was in Venice on the canal, not in an expensive gondola. I thankfully had a guidebook that pointed out that you can take the water taxi for like no money. And there's an outside deck that nobody goes to hang out on. So I was hanging on the outer deck of the water taxi, still experiencing the canal. It was lovely. And I said, someday I'm going to come back here with the love of my life. And, you know, now I'm moving a quick flight away from that canal with the love of my life. So I'm excited.
I love that. And, you know,
I'm excited to show everyone the world.
I get it. And I get the idea of wanting to have
I'm crying.
Oh, I love that. See, this is why we don't record, we don't use our video. We usually cry on every podcast.
Blew up your spot. Sorry.
Because it's beautiful and it's exciting and I get it. And I very much feel it. Like it's inconvenient and it's not maybe the most obvious thing, but it is building the life that you want and it is building the life that you deserve and your kids and it's introducing them. You know, I have such guilt about leaving my nephews, but I want them to know that, like, one, like, you can go do wild, crazy things, and two, like, love and like finding that person for you, like, that's a really big deal. And being able to do things like this with them or move across the world to be with them, like, that's a really big deal, and like, that should be embraced.
It's cool. My mom, actually, one of the things that my parents have gotten cooler about it, but they were very, very upset when we told them about it last year.
They're like, we just got here. Why are you leaving?
No, one of the things my mom said was, she was like that. Well, first of all, she said that's something you do when you're young and single, not when you're married with kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, except that I'm married with kids and doing it.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, she's like, you also don't do it when your parents are old, when you have elderly parents.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm not an only child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah.
know, my sister is here. My brother is here. My sister needs a little help herself. But the fact is, I mean, my brother has money. He can toss money at the problem. No, but honestly, it's like, plus I can come back. She's like, oh, yeah. If I break a hip, are you going to come back for like the months I'm in rehab? I'm like, yes. She's like, yeah. You leave your husband and kids to be with me? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Mother-in-law had heart surgery. My husband left us for several weeks to go down and be with her. That's exactly what you do for family. But
and this happens, by the way, in America too.
Like, right. Well, I moved to California. It's the same flight.
I pointed that out. I was like, my sister lived in California for over a decade. And she's like, yes, but we weren't elderly. And I was like, okay, but if I stay because you're elderly, you're going to live to 100 and I'm going to spend 20 years waiting for you to die so I can live my life. How about we don't?
I love that.
And I already told her, I'm like, we are coming back for Christmas. We're coming back for 2 solid weeks at Christmas. We're going to try to come back in summers. And she's like, oh, you don't realize how expensive it is, you know, all those flights. I was like, Mom, I go to and from the United Kingdom. Every year. I know exactly how expensive.
But, isn't it an interesting conversation though, Christine? Like, I mean, we love your parents, but I'm saying, like, generally speaking, that people will always try to filter your joy, right? And to hold you back a little bit when they,
I mean, she certainly wants me to be happy. She just, I mean, she definitely, that part in my head that's going, what the hell am I doing? Why am I blowing up this amazing life that's everything I always wanted? She's that part in my head.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, also, as a reminder, and I remind myself of this, you can always come home. You can always say, oops, I made a mistake. We're coming back.
Yeah. You know, and I love what you said too, and I want to go back to this. It's like, when you craft this story for yourself in your life, right? The beauty of like a fresh start is that it empowers you to keep making the fresh starts, right? So when you have like the small brave decisions, you've made over the last 16 years, you know, with Greg, that has made it so that at this point in time, the two of you can make the big life decisions together, right? Or on your own or whatever. So the 18-year-old you making this fresh start decision to go to Italy, that was the snowball effect that started, right? So that's why we're so passionate about helping people with the little decisions too, because it's the little decisions that build the confidence, right? It doesn't, you don't just come out of the gate and say, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do. It's a lifetime of building these little decisions. And so I think it's really important. You know, I love that you shared that, because you were, you know, and I have my own moments like that too. We all do, right? It's like, and this is why I'm a huge advocate for people dating when they're young, because it does teach you so much about people. Mm-hmm. It teaches you what you deserve, right? And when you have a really good relationship when you're young, you can look back on that and say, well, I deserve that, right? And as an adult, because I had a good relationship, all these things, right? I deserve to travel.
I'm still good friends with a lot of those people.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. Right. And so, you learn so much. And so I love that. What are the kids most excited about?
It's interesting. So they've been through 3 stages. So originally they were against the move because it was unfamiliarity. Right. And because they remember me getting them so stoked for this house, you know, and then so they have their good friends and all that. So they were sad because change. Then in November, I brought them and Greg out with me to London because they hadn't been anywhere, really. And then they got it. Like it clicked in and they got really excited. They were like, it's like home enough, but it's also different enough to be cool. So they were kind of on board and excited. They started speaking in British accents at home, which was very funny. A good friend of mine and I had our kids WhatsApping back and forth doing each other's accents. It's been very, very cute. And now that we're in the actually things getting real phase, like having to get rid of all our shit, you know, our house is in chaos, all of that. For a minute, they started getting really sad.
Yeah.
For a minute, they were really, really sad because of their friends, especially my 11-year-old. He has a close posse. My 8-year-old, she's the social butterfly. She has gotten over her sadness by now getting competitive with herself mentally about how many friends she's going to make. She's like, I'm going to make at least 7 new friends the first week of school, maybe the first day. You're my friend. So that's her. And she's going to, you know, FaceTime with her friends. She'll be all right. Yeah. He's a little sadder. But at the same time, they are still excited. They're excited to see other countries. They're excited for the travel part, which makes me really happy because that's important to me.
Yeah.
They are excited to see Italy. They are excited to see France. They are excited to do all these cool things. So they're very excited for that. They're excited to develop British accents. I'm like, dude, don't put on a fake one. Seriously, you'll get your ass. They are excited that we picked a cool town. They're happy that I already figured out their activities. They're not big activity kids. Each of them has one. He acts. He's in a children's Shakespeare theater troupe here. And I found him children's theater there.
Amazing.
And for her, she likes indoor climbing. She's very physical. She's very kinetic, but she doesn't want to do sports and she doesn't want to do anything competitive.
Yeah.
And so she likes climbing because she can just kind of do it and it's just her own thing. So I found her a climbing place. They're excited that Greg and I already went out there and checked out the town and confirmed that it's cool. You know, so they're excited. I'm getting them excited about what they're going to do in their rooms. Like Josh is excited. He likes those string lights with like the Edison bulbs that people have in their backyards. I told him we can do that in his bedroom and he's excited for that. I said, we can do it now or we can wait for your new room. He's like, let's wait for England. He also wants cacti. He wants to have some cactus, some little cactuses. I'm like, all right, that's sure. cool. We'll do that. We can't get them now and bring them, but we can do it there. I'm excited to decorate and organize a new place. I'm Pinteresting like crazy. We don't even know where we'll be, but I'm looking in all the apps at everything that comes up for our searches and mentally arranging and decorating those spaces. I'm looking at all the IKEA and apartment therapy tips on small spaces because those are much smaller spaces.
Are most of are they older units? Like, are they old?
I mean, my house is from 1897, so no, but it's more that just they're accustomed to less storage, to less space. A lot of times there isn't a built-in closet. There's a huge ass wardrobe taking up half the room. I warned my kids their bedrooms won't really be hangout spaces as much. It'll basically fit their bed and their clothes. They'll have more room, but just like I told my husband, I'm like, we're not gonna have a living room and a family room. It's gonna be one and it's gonna be small.
What are the refrigerators like in St. Albans? Have you seen?
Small.
I've seen
some places with full-size refrigerators. That's another thing, because I'm the only one who's really been abroad a lot. I've had to explain stuff to get used to. One thing that I cannot get over. So I know about the small fridges and going to the grocery store more often, and that's fine. One thing that's messing with me already, and I'm letting it get to me way too much, clothes dryers. Some places do have dryers, but they don't really use them because they cost $1 squillion to run them. The energy bills go through the roof. And I'm like, so is my whole house just going to be covered in hanging laundry at all times? The way I do laundry is Greg or I will get sick of the overflowing basket, we'll put in a load. Hopefully we'll remember to put that load in the dryer. Otherwise we have to rewash it with like white vinegar. but then we put it in the dryer and it stays in the dryer for most of the week. And eventually we're like, oh yeah. And then it winds up on our bed and then we fold it.
The washers are smaller too. So it's a smaller load. My recommendation that I'm living myself right now is to almost have like two sets of clothes.
Yeah.
Because what happened to me is that I'd be like, well, those are my cozy leggings and now they're wet. Like, and I have to wait for them to dry. And you guys are a little bit southern from where I'm going to be, but like in Scotland, like it's cold and damp.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody's like, well, you hang your washing outside and there's nothing like it. I'm like, hang it outside and the rain is freaking good. I'd have to babysit it all day long.
You know what we do? We turn the space heater because we have electric heat at his flat. We turn the space heater on and we have two drying racks and we put something above it so it dries it.
That's the way.
Yeah. And then it's like you put it on for maybe an hour and then it kind of jump starts it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
By the way, I let Thomas handle the sheets because that overwhelms me.
Yeah, everyone's like, you hang them on the line in out in the back.
This sounds like a great Twitter thread that you're going to do about all of this. So I'm very excited for that.
There's going to be a new Instagram account for our travels. I did a reel the other day asking people what it should be called. By the time this podcast airs, I probably will have a name for it picked out. But I'm like, we need an account for the fam. I'm obviously keeping my own Instagram account, but I'm like, an account for the expat experience and all our travels around Europe. And I'm going to start it before we move. I'm going to start it with pain in the ass stuff. Cause
the move is interesting. The move is also interesting.
Yeah. I'm watching other people's stuff about that.
The hardest thing for me, for whatever reason, that, which is not a household logistical thing. It's the dates. It's the way they write dates. I taught myself Celsius years ago, back before this relationship. Like I can handle
working on that.
That
with all of us now.
I have it on my phone in both because I like to look at it.
I have two weather apps. I have one in Fahrenheit, one in Celsius because I don't want to do the math. No. I want to know what, you know,
it feels like
it's about 16 today. Yeah. You know, I want to be able to
sense that. That's like the next level. My friends and I talk about this because one of my girlfriends is from Hong Kong. So she's the opposite way. So I'm like, I want to know, like when you say 25, like what that feels like. I want to understand that. That's the next level of comprehension.
25 is freaking hot.
It's freaking hot. Yeah. But the dates are really hard for me. Like when Thomas first told me his birthday, I was like, because his birthday is December 8th and I thought it was August 12th. Like it does and it makes more sense, but my mind can't comprehend it.
I understand also the 24-hour clock. I mean, it's not always in use, but it is more frequently in use than it is here. So I've been working on that with the kids and Greg a little bit, just trying to get them to understand that. Also the spellings, my kids know about the spellings. Math is going to be interesting. I already don't know how to do math the way my kids are learning it here, but they're going to have to learn it another way. And that's on Greg.
Thomas always corrects me. He's like, maths. I'm like, okay, maths. Yes, you're right. Maths
and sport.
Sport. Very interesting.
Maths and sport.
Sport is not one I encounter very much in my life.
You got to do on your Instagram so we can follow along as you learn all of this.
I'm gonna.
I love it. So, Christine, before we let you go. All
right.
What are some wise words that you can impart to somebody going through a fresh start in life?
People have done it. Like that's the craziest thing when you're going through a fresh start in life, no matter what it is. I mean, I used to work with a domestic violence organization. We certainly saw people who went from, you know, suddenly everything fell apart around them all at once. And it's like, no, your world's not over. Like people have done it. And especially if you're doing something fun and amazing by choice, like I am, I mean, like very different ends of that spectrum. But when it comes down to it, other people have done it and you will too. Absolutely. You can always rebuild. You can.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And the most important question of the day, what was the last thing that you ate and truly loved?
So right before I came on, in fact, I was worried I'd have poppy seeds in my teeth. I don't. I had, as a New Yorker, of course, bacon. I'm not in the city, but you know, enough.
Close enough.
Bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel. But I also added lettuce and tomato to it. So it was lettuce and tomato, bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel. And it was like a little soggy in the best way. Oh, it was just
food to like bring to the beach is like that. It's like so good.
Because it was a little soggy, it got on my fingers though. So I wouldn't want it at the beach because I could lick my fingers. You know?
That's true. We always joke that when you're born as a New Yorker, you get like a bagel order at birth. You're like, this is what is bestowed to you at birth.
A friend of mine from the UK happened to visit my fair village here recently. And I told him, you have to get a bagel before you leave. I didn't make him have good pizza, but he's had New York pizza before. We did get Italian food though, but I said you need a bagel. I said, I'm not gonna tell you have to get a super New York-y thing. You don't have to get like lox and shit, like get whatever you want, but you need to have a bagel. And he did.
Nothing like it. Christine, we are so excited for you and we're just thrilled to watch your travels and to, you know, watch you
do it too.
Because, you know, it's like, it's so cool to see people that you care about and you're like, you're doing it. Like this was an idea and you made it happen and you're like doing the thing and you should be super proud of yourself because we're really proud of you.
Thank you. I am too. And I'm proud of you guys. I'm so honored to know you and to follow your superstardom and how much good you're doing.
Thank you.
And Jenny, I'm definitely going to come up.
Oh, you better, because I there was a Harry Potter reference before, so I know you're taking those kids to Edinburgh, and you let me know when you're there.
I will. We're actually the place we're living is very close to the Harry Potter experience.
Ooh,
yeah, I love just that. Outside London.
Gonna raise awesome. Little wizards. I love that. Well, Christine, thank you for everything, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's story. We're always here, and we're so proud of you.
A Fresh Story is produced by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to begin again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode at afreshstory.com.